Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
You'll have to excuse me, I'm a little hungry. I got a little, just a little nagging. Terry brought these candy bars in, and so I've got these. So you don't mind if I go ahead and eat a candy bar here? You'll just sit. Pardon me? Yeah, y'all just watch as I eat this candy bar. Do you remember what? That's right. I'll have my sugar high, and I'll be bouncing around, and you know, she's brought in a whole package of these things, so I may be tempted to eat more than one of them, and so you know, it might take 5 or 10 minutes, you know, before I'm ready to start preaching. So we'll just remember in school where if the teacher caught you with some candy or some gum, and she would say, "Do you have enough for everybody?" Do you remember that? Do you have enough for everybody? I mean, if one person's going to have the treat, then everybody should have the treat, right? Okay, well, I have enough for everybody. So.
I hope you have enough for everybody.
Well, I think it might be pretty close. Where did we get these anyhow? We were hornswaggled into buying these from somebody. A granddaughter's band. Oh, okay. You pass. All right, there you go. You had donuts. Well, you see, we really mess up the diet. We bring you in and stuff you full of donuts, and then pastor, just for a sermon illustration, goes ahead and tempts you with candy bars. And you sure you don't want one? Okay, I'll have to eat it for real then if you're. Terry says, I don't get to eat and preach at the same time. I sit up because it is milk chocolate, so you can just see me kind of covered with chocolate up here and whatever. But as I said, and this whole illustration is to prove it, is that the teacher would say, well, if one person's going to have a treat, then everybody should have a treat. And the Three Musketeers had that saying, all for one, one for all, okay? In the Marine Corps, they say, you pick on one Marine, you pick on the Marine Corps. And so, not that any one Marine, I guess, ever needed any help. I recall the story of how my father met my mother. She was being entertained by three sailors, and my dad walked in and sent them to flight and then sat down, all boastful, as you know young Marines can be. And my mother turned to him and with such loving kindness said, "Beat it, punk." So, yes, she did. And history repeats itself. If ladies ever figured out that if you tell a climby man to get lost, it's all over for you. That's right. We follow you to church and whatever. But in the Word today, we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. And getting back to the theme, I've kind of wandered off just a little bit, but it's all for one and one for all. And as we read in Paul's writing here, he is referring to a wall of enmity between Jew and Gentile. that ever since Abraham, there had been the, you know, it was the Jews against everybody else, okay? And, you know, we call ourselves Americans, and we might say, well, we're from America or from Sweden or, you know, from Scotland or from wherever we're at, Alaska, there's a foreign country, you know, wherever we may be from, but back in the time of Jesus, you know, 2,000 years ago, there were only Jews and Gentiles in God's economy. He didn't say, well, there's Jews and there's Greeks and there's Romans and there's, you know, all of these. No, Jews and Gentiles. And it just seems as you read the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that they're, the Jews and the Gentiles are, you just don't want to put them in the same room. There's going to be a fist fight somehow, somewhere. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 that Christ has made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles, and He has united us by breaking down the wall of hatred that separated us. Christ gave His own body. Amen? And 15, very quickly, Christ gave His own body to destroy the law of Moses with all of its rules and commands. He even brought Jews and Gentiles together as though we were only one person when He united us in peace. Verse 16, on the cross, Christ did away with our hatred for each other. He also made peace between us and God by uniting Jews and Gentiles in one body. And I will tell you that God has never envisioned the church as being as fragmented and as contrary against each other as we find it today. You know, we made note of the fact of my little detention by the authorities last time I was in India. And during that time, we were dedicating the new seminary of the St. Thomas Evangelical Church of South India. Well, after I had left, then the other churches in the area, it wasn't the Hindus, it wasn't the Muslims, it was the other Christian churches in the area, said, well, we're not going to recognize the marriages that you are consecrating in your church because, you know, you're a Johnny-come-lately. We've been here for a long time. You've just come along lately. And so we don't think we're going to recognize the marriages that are being consecrated in your church. And so they sent a letter to me, you know, who do you think you are coming over here and doing all of this and starting these churches and consecrating these priests and all of that? And so I wrote them a nice, friendly little letter back. And I won't go into it because if somebody from one of those churches sees this video, they might give our churches over there even more grief. But basically, I said, look, we're all one church. We're the body of Christ. Amen? And we have enough problems in our battles with the world. We have enough problems with our battles with unbelievers. And why do we invite battles that should not ever exist when we decide to fight against one another? Amen? And so Paul is telling us in verse 16 that when Jesus died on the cross, that should have taken away the hatred that we have for each other. How can the death of Christ take away the hatred that we have for each other, whether it's Jew against Gentile or Catholic against whomever, you know, the Baptists, whatever denomination or faith group you want to think of. When we see the overwhelming love of God that sent Jesus to the cross. Amen? That the Creator submitted Himself to His creation and allowed himself to be hung on that cross, and purposed in his own will to stay on that cross, when his creation was taunting him and saying, come down off of that cross. If you're the Son of God, if you're really who you are, then, you know, set yourself free. And the thieves on either side taunted him the same way. And Jesus could have, guys, you are so lucky that God didn't choose me to die on that cross. Amen? Because about that time, I'd be saying, you know what, you're right, I'm out of here. These people are not worth all this grief. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to let the angels worship me and all that good stuff. But these folks down here, they don't deserve my love. But praise God, God didn't send Dale to the cross. Wouldn't have done you any good anyhow. Terry can testify to my lack of total sanctification. All right, but praise God, he sent his son Jesus to that cross. And when we see that overwhelming love of the creator of the universe towards his creation, there shouldn't be any room for darkness, for hatred in our lives. Amen? Amen? And if we can recognize that God died for the sins of the world. Now here's a good question for you. He died for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world. No, for God so loved the Anglo-Saxons. No? No? For God so loved the world. Okay, so we agree that God so loved the world. Does that include Hindus?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
Okay, all right. For God so loved the world. Does that include Muslims?
Yes.
Oh, now, not Muslims?
Yes.
It means what? Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen? That is so good. And so can a Muslim get saved?
Yes.
Yeah, is he still a Muslim?
No.
No, he's a Christian then, isn't he? Yes. Amen. Can a Hindu get saved?
Yes.
Sure, but he's a Christian then, isn't he?
Yes.
All right? And so what we need to recognize, the overwhelming love of God towards people that we may not even like. People that, you know, if God were to come along and said, what about that Carolyn? You know, I'm thinking about, you know, letting her into heaven, but, you know, it's kind of 50-50. Dale, why don't you cast the deciding vote? All right? He doesn't do that. Amen? He is able to take any of us and make us new from within. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And so people have often asked, what is God doing? What is God's purpose in this earth? What is God's purpose in this earth? And we've been studying about the body of Christ. And here we're seeing, along the same lines, God is making one man. One man. He's the head over all things, unto the church, but one man, one group of believers that walk in unity, recognizing that we, if we have Jesus in our hearts, our brothers and sisters, joint heirs together with Christ Jesus, and if there's somebody out there outside the body, that it's God's intention, it's the Father's intention to get them in the body. Amen?
Amen.
We just got through quoting John 3:16, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the Father's intention. So they might be rascals now, they might be our mortal enemies now, but we have the faith that God is able to touch their hearts and bring them into this one body.
Amen.
And then now that we are one man, one body, what do you think this body looks like? I know what it's supposed to look like. The body says that, or the Word of God says that the body is just, you know, fitted together. Every part in its place, working like a finely tuned machine, doing exactly what Jesus, the head over the body, is telling us to do. But I think in reality, I mean, that's what God's purpose is, but in reality, I think that our body is just a little bit out of whack. Amen? Especially those of us that are getting up there a little bit in age, we recognize that our body doesn't quite act the way that it did 20 or 30 years ago, does it? Amen? I mean, I used to be able to scratch the middle of my back there somewhere. Can't reach it now. You know, body doesn't move that way anymore. Amen? There are aches and pains. 20, 30 years ago, I didn't know that, you know, there were even any nerve endings over there. I could just walk for days and never get tired. We were walking through Walmart yesterday and the old right knee goes out. And so here I am hobbling along through Walmart looking for my wife, you know, and somehow I have an idea that that's kind of what the body of Christ in reality looks like. What was that on the old television show, Festus? Remember Festus?
Gunsmoke.
Not the Adam. That's cousin Festus on the Adams family. Okay. That's cousin. We need to go back another generation. Yeah, well, there's Chester, there's Festus. Yeah, there's on these the old black and whites, and you see them, you know, they're getting along with a little hitch in their get along, you know, and they're just kind of, at one time they walked as, you know, big strong men, and now they're a little bent over and got little elbows that go places, and sometimes a knee that doesn't work quite right, and somehow I think that's kind of what the church looks like today. Why? Because we're just not getting along.
That's right.
You know, when we feel that we have to be criticizing other churches, you know, I have to write this one group of believers back and say, lest you forget, I have signed a letter of communion with your presiding bishop. Okay, not just this one little town, but your whole presiding bishop. Why are you guys giving, you know, this church, this group of believers, why are you giving them this grief? All they want to do is proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. They're not taking members from you. They're not going places where you already are. They're just telling the lost about Jesus. But for some reason, you know, when our bodies do that, we call that an autoimmune disease. An autoimmune disease. What is an autoimmune disease? That's right. Your rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease where your body just starts attacking itself. And somehow I have an idea that that is almost what the body of Christ, the church, looks like today, where we've got the aches and the pains and the hitch in our giddy up, or the giddy up in our hitch, or however that works. You have to forgive me. That's not a term that I'm used to using. A hitch in the giddy up. There you go. You know, and all this is because of the strife from within. And so what we're being challenged with in verse 16. On the cross, Christ did away with our hatred for each other. In other words, in view of that wonderful sacrifice, there shouldn't be any room. We don't have the right to hate. You recognize that? You understand that? As believers, we don't have the right to hate. We might get a little hot under the collar sometimes. I wonder what brought that to mind. Yeah. But we don't have the right to hate. Why? Because of all that God has already given to us. And He made peace between us and God by uniting Jews and Gentiles. And remember, that's is in God's economy, that's all there was. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. Everybody in the whole earth was broken down into one of those two groups. You were either a Jew or a Gentile. And now Paul is reminding us that everybody in the whole earth is now recognized as just one in Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So, people may say things. People may do things that irritate us. Especially people in the church may say things or do things that irritate us. But Christ died for that. Amen?
Amen?
Christ died for that. And in light of that perfect, all-encompassing sacrifice, we don't have the right to hate. I'll tell you something else, and this really bugs me. We don't even have the right to get even. Amen?
Amen.
And that's one of my favorite pastimes. This is my mom and dad taught me, don't get mad, get even. All right? And we don't even have the right to get even anymore. Well, actually, not anymore. We never did. Amen? Can't get mad. Can't get even. What does that leave? We just have to love them. Amen? Just have to love them with all their little foibles, with all their little idiosyncrasies, with all their little... Amen? Amen. I remember one time, man, this is 12, 13 years ago now, when we were first ministering in India. India is separated as in a caste system. What most people don't recognize is the caste system is determined by skin color. The higher your caste, the lighter your skin. So that the Brahmins, that are the highest, most powerful caste in India, they're almost as light as I am. Whereas the untouchables, the lowest caste in India, is black, 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 black. I mean, just very, very dark. And that's this whole caste system is based on race, on color. And I remember one pastor coming to me who, I don't know what his caste was, but he was most definitely much darker than I. And I'm addressing this problem between a couple of our churches about the young ladies from one church getting married to the young men of another church. By the way, a lot of their churches are broken down by caste also. All right. Not exactly a scriptural idea, but that's how it is nevertheless. And so I'm talking to this one pastor, and he says, But Pastor, our children cannot marry their children. And I said, why? Explain to me. And he says, Pastor, they're dark. And I tell you what, it took everything that I had not to laugh. A little smile may have played a little bit on one side. I said, they're dark. And here's somebody who, compared to me, is already very, very dark. And their children cannot marry the children at this other church because the children at their other church, I guess they can see some shade of darkness even beyond theirs. And I said, you can't marry, your children can't marry their children because they're dark. And I said, and you are... white? you are. I said, not even I, as light as I am, I'm not white. I said, you are making a judgment of who can marry who based on a skin color that I'm sorry, I've preached at both of your church and I can't tell the difference between you. But you see, that's how people are. That shouldn't be how Christians are.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's how the world is. That shouldn't be how believers
Amen.
Are. We recognize that Christ died for all of us and that we are all one in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? So with that admonition, when we walk the hallways here to wherever we're going, we don't say, oh, those people are from such and such. I probably shouldn't talk to them. Or, oh, there's somebody. I can talk to these two over here because they're from Michigan like me. Okay, so us Michiganders, and do I still get to call myself a Michigander?
Yes. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap.
Okay, so one says I can and the other one says I dare not. Okay. All right. But you see, even with things that are in common according to this world, what we need to see is what we have in common according to Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. And that we all have been given one purpose. To bring more into the family.
Yes.
Amen. Father God, thank you for your love.
Here comes another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to